I'm here with Chris Milgate, an outdoor reporter, a journalist. She's been doing this for a while, and now she's writing a book about her experience called My Place Among Men. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about your experience as a woman doing outdoor journalism.
I think early on, you know, after two decades at this, early on I could tell that what my chosen professional route was pretty unusual, pretty out of the box. And I wanted to run around the woods and on the water, and if I was going to do that, it meant I had to work in a world that was pretty manly. So learning to deal with working in environments that sometimes can be strange. I can be in wilderness I've never seen before. And then working with strangers, people that I have maybe even never met before. And then also having to work in that setting as a minority meant a whole bunch of different dynamic challenges were presented. And when it all came right down to it, I really wasn't afraid to try something that nobody else was doing. And I had just recognized that what happens in the wild is going to happen regardless of your gender, your race, your age, your religion, any of those things. Those things don't matter in the wild. Mother Nature's just going to deliver a brutal beating, whether you're timid or you're tough. It's just a matter of how much can you tolerate? How much discomfort can you stand to get the story? And maybe I have a little extra added element as being a woman on a shoot and most of the time being the only woman on that video shoot. But for everybody, Mother Nature doesn't see the different genders anyway. So I choose to work in that world, and all that has to happen now is you need to know that I do my job well and I carry my own weight. So let's go get the story.
You mentioned you've been doing this for over two decades now. As you first got into outdoor reporting, what was the reaction as you got interviews and as you showed up and said, okay, I'm ready to go, and it was mostly men? How did they react to you?
There's different reactions. Some of them, they don't even bat an eye, and we just move along. But other people, they're going to doubt my abilities right out of the gate. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to have to work harder, and I'm going to have to turn a better story to prove my case. And that's all right. I'm okay with hard work, and I'm definitely okay with better stories. So, you know, I can remember specifically one day where I was with a fishing game, and they were putting radio collars on bighorn sheep. And it's a really kind of intense situation where they find these few bighorn sheep clear up high in the ridges and then push them down to the flat with a helicopter and then drop a net on them, and then they put a collar on them and stand up and they run off. It's a quick thing, but there's a lot to shoot as far as visual elements and audio elements, and there's a lot going on, and it gets really crazy. And I wear an earpiece, and I had one of the people on the crew, one of the scientists, was mic'd up. And I had walked far away from the scene to get a wide shot, as we would call it, which kind of encompasses everything that's going on all in one big wide shot. And I heard on the microphone, because I had my earpiece in, I heard one of the biologists say, "Is she any good?" And I thought, he doesn't know I can hear him. And so he was doubting my abilities in that way. Now, I don't show up on outdoor shoots in high heels. And I certainly know what I'm talking about when we're talking about natural resources and issues with endangered species or wildfire, or even talking about how we raise public land. But even with all the background I have and the fact that I know what to wear when I show up on a shoot in the dirt, he was still questioning whether I was any good at what I did. I made sure that story left his question answered in a solid way, and he never wondered about my skills again.
The people you interview and you report with are probably often the same, especially when you're reporting in Idaho. How has their attitude changed as you've worked with them over these years?
Well, I think it naturally changes over the years because I have covered Idaho outdoors and natural resource issues for so long that there's a rapport that develops there. A lot of the biologists I know now, a lot of the natural resource managers I know, a lot of the nonprofits that work for natural resources, I know them. So naturally, for any reporter, that rapport develops and those sources know you better over the years. And I would say that that just elevates the expectation in a certain way. I always want to do the best job that I can possibly do on a story. And I'm not thinking about whether or not I'm a woman and they're a man. It's whether or not I can do this job and tell the story accurately when I'm in the field. So I'm always on my case. I want to shoot better. I want to edit better. Is this good enough? Am I trying hard enough? All of those things come into play. And that's more about my personality than it is my gender. And then that just is reflected in my work. And then the expectation on the other end is, oh, she knows how to tell a good story. Let's make sure that we keep in contact with her. So just being better at what you do makes your content come out better in the end. And now I probably run into the gender issues locally less than I used to, but that's certainly just because people know who I am and they know that I'm going to tell a story.
I know for this area, you've definitely become the face of outdoor journalism in this area. I mean, if you want a story told in the outdoors, you go to Chris Milgate. How does that feel when you're recognized like that?
It's kind of a surreal feeling, really. Because I am a beast on my own back and I never think I'm doing a good enough job and I always ride my own case, it's almost surprising when that is the outcome of people are expecting something from me because they know I'll deliver. I guess in a way it's rewarding to know that you're committed to what you're doing rather than just crazy. Because when people come back to you and they're expecting a certain kind of quality to come out of your story, that's an honor to know that they're expecting that of me because that is something that I can deliver. And I'm always going to try for better, but there's probably a little bit of a reward in there when I know they're coming to me because they're expecting something good.
So after reporting so many stories, what was the impetus for you to start writing about your story in this book?
Yeah, so it's an interesting development, really. You know, we go on these news stories and we are witnessing history and we're seeing things that are divine and priceless. And then we turn into the messenger and share with the rest of the world. And while we're doing all that, there is no I in that story. And over the years, people started to ask, well, what's it like to be the only woman in the woods? What's it like to go nose to nose with a grizzly bear? And all of a sudden, it turned into, hey, what's it like? You know, give me the behind the scenes of what's it like to be on a story where they're trapping and tracking grizzlies. And then that's where the eye comes in. Or do you really know how to fish? Well, yes, I really know how to fish. I cover fisheries issues, but I, as a person, not when I'm reporting, I do know how to fish. I understand what's going on in the water and in our fisheries issues. So when I would do public appearances or even just over dinner with people that were trying to get to know me, it would be, well, what's it like? And that's where these stories came out about, oh, I'll tell you what it's like to lay nose to nose to a grizzly. It's going to scare you beyond all measure. I'll tell you what it's like to have to handle a pelican. They smell awful. And how to sort fish and putting bands on bald eagles, you know, and watching something like a bald eagle go from decades of endangered to recovered. That's pretty neat. And I'm aware of my abilities as a human on all these stories, but it takes a backseat to doing my job as a reporter until someone says, what's it like? What's it really like? And then that eye comes out. So all of these stories in the book are actual news stories I've covered, but with the perspective of I inserted into them, whereas in news, you don't normally do that.
So, Chris, what else comes top of mind in your reporting? What's a story that is just one of those that you like to tell?
When I was little, I can vividly remember sitting in the elementary school gym, and a gentleman in a brown and green outfit came into the school. And I was really shy. I always kept my head down. And I noticed everybody around me was oohing and aahing, and I thought, well, I better look up and see what's going on, get out of my shoes and see what's coming in the gym. And the man in the brown and green outfit had a big, beautiful bird on his arm. And he said to all of us, I want you to take a good look at this bird. It's a bald eagle, and by the time you're grown up, it will disappear. And I was mortified by that, and I thought, look at this bold bird with these big yellow eyes just looking at all of us, and here I am, this shy little girl. How am I going to get anywhere if this bird can't even make it till I grow up? Well, 30 years later, I'm banding bald eagles, and they're no longer on the endangered species list. And then I realized that over the course of my career, I grew out of my shyness, and now I cover stories about a bird that everyone thought was going to disappear, and I'm doing it as the little girl that everybody thought was too shy to be a journalist.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the book and how somebody can purchase a copy of this book. I know it's on pre-order right now.
Right. So, My Place Among Men is moving through the book industry through a concept similar to how you crowdfund a project. And the reason I went that route was I wanted people to be able to say that they really wanted this book. Instead of me going around tooting my horn saying, I've got something really great here, let's print it, just trust me, it'll work. The public's going to say if it's going to work. So the pre-order stage of the book is what's kind of the deal sealer here. 750 books ordered shows that there's enough interest in this book to print it. If I can't hit 750, then the book doesn't print. And that, there's a 90-day window, which ends at the end of April.
And what's the website that people can go to find that?
www.tightlinemedia.com. And that's my website. And then when you get there, you just click on the book icon for My Place Among Men and order. It's $20 per copy. If you order 3 copies, your name goes in the book. You can order up to 10. And then we just kind of collect, you know, those orders over the 3 months and see where we are at the end of April. And I don't give up too easy, so we'll push this until we can get it. And I think that, you know, for as many things as people can look at out there, my stories have always been read and watched. And they're all in these chapters, just with the extra element of human, which is the I factor.
Chris Milgate, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandon.